Okay, everyone, thank you for your patience. My name is Rebecca, and I'll be chairing this morning's session on the Indigenous struggles in Chile, specifically of the Mapuche community. This is a very special session of Marxism 2011 because Social Alternative is co-chairing this session with Latin American Solidarity Network. So welcome to this session of the conference. I am very sad to have to announce to you that Pascual Pichun, who is our advertised speaker, was actually unable to attend conference this year for the simple reason that, and disgusting reason, really outrageous, that because he has been tried under anti-terrorist laws in Chile for his part in the Indigenous struggles there, the Australian government actually refused to process his visa with enough time to actually be able for him to be able to attend. So we have the Australian state and the anti-terrorist laws in Chile to thank for that. But instead, we have Marisol from Latin American Solidarity Network, who is here with us this morning, and she'll give an introduction, and then we'll have plenty of time for discussion and questions and so on. So please welcome Marisol.
Yes. Rebecca. So as Rebecca mentioned, Pascual, he couldn't come to the conference. In the last communication we had with him, he provided mostly all the information he wanted to let everyone know. I'm not sure if you are aware of the Mapuche people situation or not the current situation, but basically how everything started in Chile. If not, I'm going to give you some ideas that the Mapuche people is the only indigenous communities in Latin America who survived or were not defeated by the Spaniards or during the conquest time. Sorry. And we were not defeated. I'm Mapuche, part of the exile living here in Australia, more than 15 years now, but always in contact with my people and trying every year to bring anyone from my community to come and talk about what's happening to us. Because no matter if I've been here in Australia 15 years, the situation is getting worse, it's not changing for good. So we were not defeated, we got an agreement with the Spanish Crown, and during that agreement, the Spanish Crown recognized our land. We have a major river called Biobío, and for the Spanish Crown, from the Rio Rivo to where Biobío River, where we have, you know, Santiago, the main capital city, was Spanish land. And from the Biobío River to the other side, that is the south, it was Mapuche indigenous land. So we really lose, and we were defeated when the Chilean, you know, a few years after, when the Chilean or the mixture of European with indigenous became powerful, that's when we lost our battle, because they were indigenous in that side, so they knew how to cross the river. They knew how to get to the places where we were living. So that was mainly the way, you know, we were defeated. But not completely. A big part of the population during that time decided to move to the mountains. They were pushed to move to the mountains. One of the ways we use as a way to survive, and this is important, as a way to see how peaceful is my people, and we were always trying not to confront, you know, the invader, more trying to keep the peace and see how we could survive. So we moved to the mountains, and as a way to maintain our culture, you know, all the men, they moved in front and they were fighting against the invader. But some of the youngest ones stayed with us in our communities. So lucky in those days, they could have as many women as they could inside the community as a way for us, you know, to keep having children and to build our communities and to maintain our language. I'm from Chiloé, that is a small island at the end of Chile. And yeah, the struggle for our people in every part of the country is a little bit different because we face the same state, but in different ways. For the Mapuche people, in this case, for Pascual Pichun community, They live in Temuco. That is the area where the majority of the Mapuche people live today, and where the majority of the Mapuche people lose their land. So they are in a process of taking the land back that was taken by the Chilean state and given to multinational corporations a few years ago. And that's how the situation with Pascual Pichun started. Because he became a very strong leader, we call it Lonco, inside our community, so inside our country, he became a very dangerous person for the Chilean state. So they were looking and trying to see how and what to use as a way to accuse him and to take him out of the picture, because he was the only person connecting all the communities. We speak the same language, no matter where we are in the south, the middle of Chile and the south. No, in the north, we have all the indigenous communities in the north. But he was the person who was connecting all of us. And a lot of communities were standing up and saying, okay, we need to fight. You know, every year we lose more land and they force us to move into the main cities. So Pascual was accused of initiate a fire in one of the forestry companies that was in the area, very close to his community. But there wasn't proof, really, that he initiated the fire. In that fire, one of the, we can say, places where they keep the tractors, you know, the car, that was completely gone with the fire. But the funny part is the legal process that the government is using against the Mapuche people. Part of the dictatorship during Pinochet, they install a law. In the law, anyone from their point of view, the state, against of the development of the country or against of the state, you know, has to be accused and use the anti-terrorist law. But unfortunately, in Chile, it has been used just for indigenous people, just the Mapuche people has been followed, threatened. The communities are militarized in this moment. So Pascual didn't have no way to defend himself. So we don't have money. We have some land, but no money at all. He was accused of being a terrorist. They use witnesses, you know, that they cover the faces because they didn't have no proof. So they came with the idea that they could use witnesses with covering the faces and transforming their voices. And that was the people who said in the court, yes, I saw Pascual initiating the fire. He is the one. And that was more than enough for the magistrate or the Chilean court to say, yeah, Pascual and all the people, because there were other Loncos involved too. They are responsible. And yeah, they are terrorists. And they need to be an example. So all the other Loncos of Mapuche who are standing up against our law, you know, need to learn a lesson. So until today, Pascual Pichun's son, during that time, leave the country for the same reason. But he decided to come back thinking that, okay, my father spent more than 5 years in jail. He was innocent. Now everyone knows that. But so I'm innocent too. But the Chilean government decided that there is no Mapuche innocence when there is an accusation. So he's in jail now. He's facing the same charges, his father. But the Chilean law, when you are accused or under the terrorist law, can keep you in jail wherever, how long they want. He has been in jail for a while and without a sentence. So that's mainly the process. And it's not just Pascual. We have in this moment probably 11 Loncos from different Mapuche communities in jail. And they all had been accused somehow to be terrorists, you know, or against forestry or hydroelectric companies, or, you know, some other multinational corporation in the area. They had been, some of them, more than 2 years in jail, but there is no a legal process that forced the government to hurry up and say, oh, they are guilty or innocent, why they are in jail. So the government, the state, has been using that policies as a way to stop indigenous fighting for their rights. The human right don't exist basically for indigenous people in Chile. And the racism, you know, that the Chilean state has been fomenting, because, you know, I cannot say that there has been no racism before, but the Chilean government, you know, they have been fomenting that, letting Chilean people to know that indigenous, we are drunk, we are lazy, you know, the reason why they are taking our land is because we don't work on the land. So they need to invite multinational corporations to come and do the job for us. But the people doesn't know that during the process, we lose all the rights. We don't get paid for the land they expropriate. There is one particular community in one area where my brothers and sisters, Pehuenches, and Wijiche, by the way, we are different tribes. The government has the idea to build 9 dams. So, and as a way to do that, they have to take one of the biggest communities out of the way. And that's how the Mapuche Pehuenche was the first community where 500 members of that community were in different ways. You know, the Chilean state will say, oh yeah, they agree to sell the land because we move them into a different land and we gave them a small house and they still have some animals. But they don't tell that the majority of my people don't know how to write and read in Spanish, because Spanish is not our first language, it's Mapudungun. And so it's very easy, you know, for them to get and to bring like a good business to a family who, yeah, own land, but we are poor people, no matter how much land we have. Part of our culture is not to become rich, is to live in peace, in harmony with the land. So it's a totally different concept. So in this moment, the Chilean government, or I can say the Chilean state, is terrorizing the communities. The militarization is something they try to cover, but it's evident. All the communities are militarized in this moment. If you are a Mapuche, you don't have a voice. As I mentioned before, we are incapable to do good things because we are, you know, we are the low social class, or we can say inside all the Chilean society. The campaign we have here outside in Australia supporting my people is mainly to denounce. It's not much what we can do, but has been working. For example, the current government that we have now is a fascist government. The president was a loyal young member of one of the extreme right-wing parties during the dictatorship period when Augusto Pinochet was in power. Now that's the president we have in this moment, unfortunately. But as a way, because all the international pressure, we and other people from Canada and Spain, you know, he said, oh, we are not going to use the anti-terrorist law against Mapuche anymore. But what they are doing is basically they don't use the anti-terrorist law because you don't go into a military court. But the process, you know, is worse. For example, we had probably five weeks ago, that was when the last Loncos received, you know, the sentence. And this is young people who became very strong inside their communities as a way to fight for sovereignty, for the autonomy, for the continuation of speaking our own language to, you know, to keep our beliefs, to live in accordance to our beliefs. And the government decided that particular community, that particular organization was very dangerous because they were young. There wasn't all people involved. And 4 weeks ago, I was very sad here in Australia because it's not much what you can do, but they receive a sentence of 30 years. And the only reason is because they accuse them of illicit, reunión ilícita, como se dice? Illicit organization. So with that sentence, you know, it could mean anything, you know, that you were organizing a terrorist organization behind on the ground. You know, it doesn't say in the accusation, but that's mainly what they try to say. And now those young people who were, you know, fighting for land, you know, recognition, because we are not recognized inside the Chilean society, If you look and go into the history, the indigenous, yeah, we speak a different language, we look different, but we don't exist. We are Chileans. And as a Chileans, you know, they force us, you know, since before primary school to move and to learn Spanish and to believe in the goddess or the god, you know, the Chilean people has. It's all that kind of assimilation process that we are in this moment, you know, facing. So what we can do, for example, as a way to face a government, in this case, you know, like the one we have in Chile, who call themselves democratic, because yes, it is, it was democratically elected. So the Chilean people, for some reason, decide to vote for this new president. We know the reason why, after so many years of, you know, having the, you know, the we call it the concertación, that was the coalition parties, that promised to make 1,000 changes, starting from to take the 80 constitution that was the, you know, Pinochet leave ruling our country. That's the one, you know, allow you to use anti-terrorist law and so many other laws that are against workers, you know, women, anyone who is protesting. They never did. They never make real changes. The people who was involved, part of it, the dictatorship, they're still rich, happy, free inside Chile. So there had been a process. There had been a few processes, but as a symbol for people to shut up, mainly. But the big majority who were part of the dictatorship government, they're still there. They own the newspaper, they own the television. They're the main actionists now in the forestry, you know, multinational corporations, mining. So the Chilean people, I can imagine, got sick of it. And they decide, you know, to try the dictatorship again, probably. I don't know. It was so unbelievable to be here and, you know, to be not part of the process, but to know that the new generations in Chile, you know, decide that someone like him could be a good ruler, a good president. So that's mainly the situation in Chile, especially with my people. My people is not just in the Chilean land. Normally we mention, you know, both is between Argentina and Chile. We are in this moment the 10% of the Chilean population. So we are 1.5 million Mapuche. We live the big majority out of our land. So we live in the main cities. If you go to Chile, you will see us begging in the street because that's the job the government, you know, give us after they take our land, because there is no way we can survive inside a world unknown by us. So with religions that, you know, keep telling us that that's the way God wants us to live and we need to be happy. So it's all the kind of new influence, you know, getting into our people and making us miserable, poor, you know, more poor than before. And but we're still, some of us, standing up, fighting. We use different ways, you know, but as I said, my people, we are peaceful. I think we always will be, no matter if we have been, you know, talking lately of, I don't know, what else we can do to stand up. But I don't think so. The elders will, you know, decide to stand up in a different way. And we respect that. Our elders are wise and, yeah, we let them to decide for us. So, so the anti-terrorist law against my people, multinational corporations are the main responsible because they accuse us of being enemies of the state because we are against the development of the country. So it's not just us, indigenous, ecologists, you know, people who fight, you know, against climate change, you know, we are all enemies of the state, basically. And the Chilean process is totally different than here in Australia. So, yeah, here you can, at least you can go to the street and protest and, you know, have your say. We can probably do the same thing, but the day after you are gone, you disappear, you know, so it's a little bit different, the kind of freedom we have. And, I don't know, we have a campaign here in Australia through LastNet very small. As I said, not many people know what's happening to the Mapuche people. And the people who knows, you know, we try to support and see how we can keep denouncing. You know, that's the only way to maintain my people alive. If people know what's going on, we will continue existing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.